And now to our pro and con discussion, one of my favorite segments in Newsline. We take an in-depth look at an important issue through the eyes of proponents and opponents. And today, obviously, the issue is the Bush economic plan. And joining us to discuss this and support it from the Republican National Committee, Jim Dyke, thanks for joining us. And opposing it from the Brookings Institution here in Washington, senior fellow, there he is, Peter Orszag. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This is a no-holds-barred discussion and no biting, kicking, or scratching, but anything short of that, it's okay. So I'm going to give Jim the first word here, Peter. And Jim, as a representative of the Republican National Committee, give us the one-minute short version of why this is the best plan for America and beyond.
Well, one of the important things is it's for all Americans. We think it's important that Washington not pick winners and losers and decide who the right people or the wrong people are. This is a plan for all Americans to promote consumer involvement in our economy, to promote investment, and to help unemployed workers who need help finding a job in the time while they're out there looking for a job. And it's important to put the resources behind that and let people keep more of their money. That's, I think, a fundamental difference between the way we view sort of this process and this discussion as opposed to the way Democrats view this process is we fundamentally believe that it's the people's money and they ought to be able to keep more of their own money.
Peter Orszag over at the Brookings Institution in downtown Washington, your take on the plan initially.
Well, basically the problem here is that the plan wouldn't do much to get the economy moving in 2003, which is when we need help. By the administration's own estimates from the Council of Economic Advisers, it would create only 190,000 jobs in 2003. That's nothing. Furthermore, it's not really fair. For 50% of tax filers, the tax cut they would get is $100 or less. For two-thirds of tax filers, they'd get less than $500. Everyone may get a tax cut, but it ain't much, and therefore it doesn't really help the U.S. economy. And that has implications for the world economy because other countries' economies depend on the health of the U.S. economy. If we don't have our ship in order, other countries won't either.
I'd have to disagree with the numbers. I'm not sure exactly where they came from.
They come from the Tax Policy Center, and I welcome you to check them out.
I look forward to it. This is an important plan. An average family, a two-earner family of four, would get a $1,100 tax credit. Seniors would get about a $1,700 tax credit. The child income would be, in and of itself, a $400 instant rebate plus the $600 on your tax return. So I would disagree that this is not. This does provide a strong short-term stimulus, but as well outlines a plan for long-term growth. And you have to have both those components, and really there is no other plan out there under discussion right now.
Well, that's not true. The Democrats have a plan in the House. And again, by the administration's own estimates, 190,000 jobs in 2003. That's nothing. On who benefits and who doesn't from this plan, the administration is trotting out selective examples of hypothetical families that are benefited from it. If you look at the population as a whole, it's not even true for families with kids. They're only counting married couples with two kids. If you look at, for example, heads of households that have children, 49% get less than $100 under this plan. So there are lots of different kinds of Americans that are trying to make their budgets add up in the current downturn, and picking out selective examples of families that happen to get, you know, a certain kind of tax cut isn't the right way to look at this.
Well, I think the real problem here is Democrats want to pick selective Americans, and we think that's a bad idea. We think it's bad policy. We think all Americans deserve to keep more of their own money. We think that that's good policy. We think it makes sense. We think it's fair. We think that eliminating a double taxation on dividends disproportionately paid by seniors is unfair and ought to be eliminated on principle alone. So we think this is a very balanced plan that will, again, create short-term stimulus and long-term stimulus, and doesn't allow people in Washington. The House Democrats have put out some sort of plan. I'm not sure that all Democrats support it. We haven't heard from a lot of Democrats yet, except for that they don't like the Bush plan, and they were saying that before the Bush plan actually came out.
So. Jim, that's precisely a point. Peter, I'll throw this to you.
Okay.
It's clear you don't like the Bush economic plan. What plan do you like, and what are the key features of it?
Well, I think the key thing that we need to do is get the economy, jumpstart the economy in 2003, and then get our fiscal house in order over the long term. This plan does neither of those. It doesn't get the economy moving in 2003, and it will cost at least $674 billion over the next 10 years when we're already facing a large fiscal hole. What we should be doing is getting the economy moving now and then cleaning up our fiscal mess. And if we don't do that, if we don't clean up that fiscal mess, which is looming out there over the next 10 years, other countries will pay the price, because when we run huge budget deficits, it forces us to borrow a lot more from abroad.
Look, that sounds pretty good, but it was real short on specifics. And like I said, the Bush plan provides a strong short-term stimulus, and I couldn't agree more that you've got to have some fiscal discipline. And one thing that the president has made abundantly clear that Congress can do is control Washington spending. If you want to have fiscal discipline, if you want to keep deficits down, Congress has to be responsible. They have to control their spending. And you combine that with tax relief, allowing Americans, all Americans, to keep more of their own money. It's not Washington's money. It's families' money. It's seniors' money. To keep more of their money is good economic policy.
Jim, how does this plan benefit our viewers out there, people who don't live in the United States, who wonder how this will affect the global economy?
Well, Peter made a good point. The U.S. economy does lead the world. And one of the things that was done over the past year was the passage of Trade Promotion Authority, increasing our ability to create trade agreements with other nations. Trade's good for other countries. It's good for the United States, and that's something that we're going to be working on. But creating a stronger domestic economy is good for the world economy.
And again, this is an administration whose rhetoric doesn't match its reality. This is an unaffordable permanent tax cut that won't do much to stimulate the economy in the short run. On trade, while Trade Promotion Authority is great, this is the administration that has thrown up barriers to steel and other goods and hurt other countries through protectionist measures.
Well, Peter was in the Clinton administration, and they had trouble passing Trade Promotion Authority. I think passing Trade Promotion Authority was an important first step. We're proud we got it done. We're going to work for more trade agreements. And again, I just disagree with the fact that you letting every American keep more of their own money isn't good policy. It made the recession that we had, the challenge that we faced in the recession, shorter and shallower. Economists have been clear on that. And we think it's good policy going forward.
Quickly, for the two of you, in about 20 seconds, what's going to happen in the next weeks and months ahead? There'll be a lot of compromising on Capitol Hill. And quickly, please.
Well, I think the first thing that has to happen is, again, Democrats have to put forward what they're for. There was a lot of talk about tax increases before the election. You haven't seen as much of that after the election, but it's not totally clear. Peter's right. There were some House Democrats that came out with a plan that they support, but you haven't heard anything from the Democrat presidential candidates. You hadn't heard anything from the Senate Democrats. So I think Democrats need to come forward and make clear what they're for.
Mr. Orszag, the same question to you briefly, sir.
Democrats have put forward a plan. It's a much better plan than the administration one has put forward. And I think what we'll see is that as the price tag for the administration's unaffordable package becomes clearer, it's not going to be passed.
Peter Orszag over at the Brookings Institution here in Washington, D.C., a senior fellow there. And here in our Washington studio, Jim Dyke of the Republican National Committee. Both of you, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.